The fight around Hill 60, which was gradually developing, assisted by the unfamiliar horror of gas attacks into the Second Battle of Ypres, did nothing to restore my faith in the benevolent intentions of Providence. With that Easter vacation began the wearing anxiety of waiting for letters, which for me was to last with only brief intervals for more than 3 years, and which, I think, made all non-combatants feel more distracted than anything else in the war. Even when the letters came, they were 4 days old, and the writer since sending them had had time to die over and over again. My diary, with its long drawn-out record of days upon days of miserable speculation, still gives a melancholy impression of that nerve-wracking suspense. Morning, it observes, creeps on into afternoon, and afternoon passes into evening, while I go from one occupation to another, in apparent unconcern, but all the time this gnawing anxiety beneath it all. Ordinary household sounds became a torment. The clock, marking off each hour of dread, struck into the immobility of tension with the shattering effect of a thunderclap. Every ring at the door suggested a telegram, every telephone call a long-distance message giving bad news. With some of us, the effect of this prolonged apprehension still lingers on. Even now I cannot work comfortably in a room from which it is possible to hear the front doorbell. I dare not think too vividly of him just now, I wrote one black evening after several days without a letter. I can scarcely bear to look at the photograph taken at Uppingham. I've been trying to picture to myself what I should feel if I heard he was dead. It would be impossible to realise. Life would seem so utterly empty and purposeless without him that it is almost inconceivable. I only know that such an anguish could never be conquered in a life of scholastic endeavour, never among those indifferent, unperceiving college women, for the majority of whom war and love and grief might not exist. The ability to endure these things would come back in time, but only after some drastic change. To this constant anxiety for Roland's life was added, as the end of fighting moved ever further into an incalculable future, a new fear that the war would come between us, as indeed with time the war always did, putting a barrier of indescribable experience between men and the women whom they loved, thrusting horror deeper and deeper inward, linking the dread of spiritual death to the apprehension of physical disaster. Quite early I realised this possibility of a permanent impediment to understanding. Sometimes, I wrote, I have feared that even if he gets through, what he has experienced out there may change his ideas and tastes utterly.